Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
And who are you playing?
Hamisullah Harun al-Tahan.
Sir Bertrand McGuffigan.
Zolf Smith.
Sasha Rackett.
Like pros.
Yay.
Not actually pros.
Unpaid pros.
That's why I said like.
Yeah. We've been doing this a long time.
We have been doing this a long time.
Like experience.
53 hours,
in
approximately.
Fact, today, the day that we're recording, is the day that our podcast first went live online.
Ooh.
Not the first recording, because we recorded an enormous amount ahead of time.
And Alex didn't buy us a cake.
Yeah. Hey,
and it's my birthday.
Hey,
the main reason
you
buy us a cake is because eating it would sound revolting on the edit.
Yeah.
Technically, it's tomorrow. But, you know...
So,
details.
Are all of you alive? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are all of you mostly
has
he
given
intact?
Me a shiny
none of us are intact.
No.
Bertie's heart was broken.
Twice.
Several times.
But
yeah.
He fixed it.
Yeah, but he fixed it.
And
so
then
it
broke
again. yes, Hamid's lost his skin.
Oh, yeah.
Sasha's
yeah.
lost her friends. And Zolf's lost his leg.
Other leg.
I said, oh, why don't you grab his ankle?
To lose one leg, Mr. Zolf, may be regarded as a misfortune. To lose both looks like carelessness.
I'd grab his ankles. He doesn't
have any. Wild. Oh my god, he has to turn up and say that.
Yes.
I think I'm just going to punch him. Full in the mouth.
You might try, but it's hard to get your balance.
Yeah. It's been forgotten, but I've also lost my trident and haven't had that back.
When
it's just
did you lose
mess.
Your trident?
I chucked it at
as
I fell to my assumed death.
Yeah.
Second time you just
keep throwing stuff away
because I thought I was just dead. So I thought I might as well try.
He's very spiritual. He thinks it's going to come back.
I mean, it did once.
Well, yeah. All
right. That was pretty cool.
Mr. Zolf, to lose one's trident once.
Okay. Well, if you're going to keep taking the Mickey.
So currently, it is above ground now in the actual like offices of Lark Dordan and Ter.
Mm-hmm.
It's empty. There's been a lot of people freaking out and leaving. Admittedly, you didn't see them, but it's not a big leap to assume a whole load of people suddenly remembering corpses shambling around, having their ambitions tweaked and changed, and all manner of things happening. Never mind the people outside of this place. It makes sense for them to maybe want to leave.
Poor Madeline.
And As a result...
Your girlfriend.
Just, well, no, it didn't really go that well, the date. Despite rolling a 20 on my...
No, it went very well. There just wasn't.
Turns out, you can't talk people into love. Who knew?
Maybe the game can. Rules disagree with you. FYI.
So just throwing this out there. Maybe you can't.
I'm a dancer, not a talker.
That's very true. So, as it stands, the party are worse for wear, above ground now at least, having had a misadventure trying to just leave via the catacombs, and that didn't work, having destroyed as much information as you could, and having destroyed the power source for this entire operation.
By releasing four elementals and letting them fight each other.
Hey, it worked.
It turns out that when you mix the four core ingredients of existence itself, they leave a kind of grey, sloppy soup.
Much like
that's profound, isn't it?
Let's just add all the paste together, you get just a brown mess.
Yeah.
And on that note, we will rejoin the party exactly where we left off, in the offices of Lark Dordinator. I presume you are still making your way out.
Yeah, I think it's just keep going, really.
So,
and Bertie is at some distance behind.
Yes, because Brutal's not happy with you at all. And rightly so. Heading out. Do you...
For a dog, he's bearing a very complicated multi-layer brush.
I was about to say, also, like, you know, I think the overarching, you know, morality of this is more vegan than I'd reasonably expected.
Hey, very well, he's a very intelligent dog. You taught him manners.
I did teach him manners.
Like, not just lay down and roll over. Actual manners.
His fury is a testament to your handle animal.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, heading out... Do you head out via the main entrance, look for a side entrance?
Side entrance.
Yeah, side entrance.
So heading out for a side entrance, you see, it's not chaos. What it is disturbingly quiet. All of you give me perception rolls.
Oh, I'm still further down the corridor.
I will say that they have come out and I've made a difference.
Is it 28 days later?
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
3.
14.
3 from Bertie, 12 from Sasha.
Yeah.
9 from Zol.
And?
14.
So the rest of you notice... There is a crowd of people still out front. However, there isn't the numbers that you would have expected of response. Like, if something big had happened, you'd expect people to be here, like, dealing with it. As it is, there's a few fleeing people still. There's a few people who are just broken down in tears on the square outside, but they also are getting pulled away. There's a small-ish crowd of sort of civilians on the actual rue, you know, the encircling road. However, there's not as much attention as you'd think. Hamid, you notice... There's a lot of people who are quite distracted. For a start, there's no traffic moving. There's a couple of horse and carts moving, things like that, but the majority of all of the automated cabs ceased moving. You see a lot of people are... No one's, like, freaking out. It's a lot of people who are being very inconvenienced by this, and that's not on. You also notice a few of the mechanical billboards that have... In the glitzier districts, you can see in the distance... I kind of stopped mid-movement and mid-change in things.
So, in the ensuing panic, I forgot about the ramifications on the global economic system. Oh, no.
But it's mostly quiet. The hum of the city has been reduced to merely the hum of humanity.
Does, like, a stock market crash mean that our gold is worth less or more?
Well, it is a safe haven asset class, Bertie bellows from across the square.
No one's paying you guys any attention whatsoever.
I think we need to get in... Bertie?
Yes?
Do you want to go around the corner while we let Bruta off the leash?
Very well!
I find in the crowd someone who looks sad and...
Give them an angry dog.
It's not angry at him.
True.
Or the person that he can
who looks like they could use a lovable pet.
There are a large number of people who meet this criteria.
I find the person with
the kindest eyes.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
You do see a certain lady, quite familiar, been on a date with. She doesn't actually seem that traumatised. Like, everyone else is freaking the heck out. She's mostly dealing with people and just seems a bit nonplussed.
Madeline.
Hamid, hi.
Are you okay? Is anyone okay?
I don't know. I'm fine. I'm not entirely sure. A lot of people are saying a lot of things.
Yeah. It's all over now, I guess.
I don't really understand what's happening here.
Remembered everything.
What?
It's a long story. Is everyone? There's no one in imminent danger. Everyone's just coping.
As you're saying that, there's the cries of people who are just freaking out and beating their hands against the pavement.
Yeah, I think the people will probably be
I mean, have you heard what they're saying? Struggling. They're saying there were these things walking around, and
yep.
and people have been sent away by a thing, and
yeah, yeah.
I just work the desk. I turn up, I sit at the desk, and I leave.
Then you're lucky, and you're good to help everyone. Oh dear, I need to go and see if we can find.
Oh right, okay.
But
she's looking around. She's only giving you kind of half an ear because it's just there's a lot happening. Even if it's not loud.
Would you like a dog? Hamid looks confused at himself.
She looks at you and, is everything all right, Hamid? I mean, given, I mean...
It will be. This dog used to belong to a friend of mine, and he needs a new home, and he's really lovely.
As you're saying that, he's still straining with a faint growl in the direction that Bertie was.
Brutal, brutal, brutal.
He's very occupied currently.
He could just do with a proper home and not someone who might not appreciate him, is all.
Not appreciate him
off a building, yes.
One previous owner, brackets abusive.
She basically reaches out, grabs it and goes, well, I mean, I can, but there's sort of some bigger problems here, Hamid. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh, yes, no, I've noticed. We're going to do our best to help deal with them all. We'll try and help someone could come and help.
Look,
Hamid,
I'm going to have to go.
Yeah, of course.
Look, hold on. You know where you can find me. You've got my number.
Thank you.
I mean, she gives a sort of perfunctory peck on the cheek, and then he's just like, I've got to go, Hamid. There's things to be doing. And she just starts trying to help people whilst holding a dog that's yanking her, and she just
how
looks confused, but, you know, could have gone worse.
Yes. Well, shall we?
Right, okay, yeah, we need to find the nearest, meritocratic office?
We won't be able to go back to Le Triomphe. Let's find another hotel nearby.
Maybe we can. Maybe the records have all gone nuts and they'll just assume and it's fine and they'll put us up. And that's where Wild will look for us.
Can't hurt, let's go back there.
We'll just go to a police station.
It's literally across the street.
It's literally across the street.
So, presumably heading to Le Triomphe?
Yep.
Basically, just crossing a street, effectively. There's a lot of people who are, like, hitting the hansom cabs, trying to make them move, and there's a person with a horse who's, you know, yelling at people to get out of the way, going up on the pavement and going around.
The horse.
Oh, no.
Are you?
Or you, the only thing that's functioning. Carry on.
Good work. Keep
well
it up.
Done,
keep
horse.
It up. Well done.
Good horse.
You head up the stairs and into the foyer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sort of hushed conversation happening with a few footmen and the concierge at the desk, and they're just sort of having a concerned conversation, and the concierge looks up, sees you and goes, oh, I'm so sorry, and the lift's not working at the moment. You'll have to be taking the stairs, but we are working on it, we absolutely promise, man.
That's alright, and we can eat yesterday's feast.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it. We'll get some cold meat sent up or something.
Where's the nearest police station?
If you give me 1 second, sir, he begins sort of sketching out, pulling a local map and putting on the police station.
Do you have a wheelchair?
I can certainly arrange for one, sir. Take a small moment. Oh, my goodness, sir, what happened? Is everything all right?
I'm going to cover it with none of your business, and please get me that wheelchair, thank you.
In fairness, by the way, it has been a week, so it's not so much like, oh, my goodness, you've been hit by something.
Yeah, no.
Wow, something's happened to you in the last week.
Sasha has put Zolf down in a very nice chair.
Oh, right, certainly, sir. He pulls over a couple of footmen, forces them to stop having their hushed conversation, and off they run. He finishes, passes you a map, and
she stretches her back. Oh, not that it's a problem.
Thank you.
6 hours. Ow. Yeah.
And then he makes an absolute point of definitely not looking at your legs in any way whatsoever, and having any kind of conversation that is definitely not to do with anything that has changed recently, because that would be wildly unprofessional.
Thanks, Sasha. Yeah.
So glad I wasn't carrying for all that time. That would have been really tiring and uncomfortable.
She's not deliberately making a point. It's just her.
Bertie is.
Her back hurts quite a bit. You know when I said that there was a weird sort of tension in my shoulders?
Yeah.
There's like
give
like
me
the
a perception
skin.
Check, Sasha. 19. You pull your hand away and there's a small amount of blood on your back.
Are you bleeding?
I'll check.
You're fine.
No, I'll have a look at your back.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe in a room because there's a lot of
people we'll get some
around here.
Yeah, let's go.
If I take the leather jacket off, is the shape of the massive falcon all in blood through my shirt?
It's not as glamorous as that, honestly. Mm. It's just weeping.
Weeping wound. Okay. You don't have. Could you make it hurt a bit less, maybe?
Yeah,
is that,
sure.
Is that?
I absolutely can. I will burn my bless into it as just like a weak healing spell.
Yeah. Boop.
Yes.
Instantly healed. There's no proper damage there. It's just not healing healing as it should.
It's and it should stop hurting because it's actually just fixed.
Yeah, it immediately stops hurting.
All right, well, there we go.
Well, sorry again. Thank you for carrying
There's
me out there.
No need to be sorry. Like, you saved us multiple times.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I've been thinking about it. I might take those legs. Its influence has obviously been removed from...
You and think?
I've been so useless.
You haven't been useless, Ulf. You saved us when we were fighting the monster, where we weren't really fighting the monster, but still we needed to fight the monster to save the world. Like, you got right up there, even with no legs, which actually makes you braver, really, than people that do have them. And you kept throwing spells at it, and you helped save the day. So I don't know about this useless that you're talking about.
Well, all right, well... Sure, but
it's a bit harder to sneak with you on my back, but I can learn. I managed to relearn to throw daggers with three fingers, so I can learn to sneak with a dwarf on my back.
I need to sort myself out. I'm not useful as a mercenary like this, so I might as well take it because, you know, its influence is gone, and quite honestly, I don't care what the church might say or any problems they have
you,
with
you
it.
You what? So. But, like, if you annoy the church, like, don't you lose your magic?
Well, church is just people, really. They can stamp their feet and get irritated all they want, but...
But it's Poseidon that matters.
Maybe.
Well, I've got the legs right here.
Well, they need to be fitted. We tried this before.
Okay.
But, yeah, keep hold of them and I'll get that sorted out. Once the dust settles. We need to make a report.
Okay.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In the time this has taken, they have provided a wheelchair and you have a map to the nearest police station.
Right, so I'm a bit more set up. I imagine some people are going to want to get some rest, but...
I think if we stay here and rest, Wild will find us, and...
I don't think we've got time. I think we need to do this as soon as we can, because the effects of this will only spread and get worse before they get better.
Fine.
It's fine if you.
But we can't just tell ordinary police officers at the police station, like.
Yes, but that's why we then ask them to get us to a meritocratic officer.
All right, let's go then.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
At one moment, Bertie goes to the desk and asks the desk clerk to send a message as soon as they are able to chase the Circuit of Command along its route and get it sent to the hotel.
They have no idea what you're referring to.
Yep.
And just go, okay, certainly, sir. And we'll send that when we can. They seem a bit nonplussed, but that's about it.
Good! And Bertie tips them and pats them on the cheek. Well done!
They are all very much occupied with far bigger issues than your message right now.
Oh, fair enough.
Okay, as you all head to leave, an arm snakes out and grabs Sasha's.
Ah! Ah!
that the mechanical man who everyone forgot about, who's mm-hmm. been stood beside the door, out of the way, where he's been told,
yep.
has reached out and grabbed you.
In the other arm,
he holds out the card.
They're not supposed to be alive!
Bertie draws his sword and hacks at the arm that's holding Sasha.
There's a rend of grating metal. It makes no move to stop. It won't move in any way. Feel free to keep going.
He has another go.
Guys, stop! Stop! Yeah. It's trying to give you a message!
Whale clang! Whale clang!
All of the footmen are panicking.
Okay. What?
Eventually, you are now... add to your inventory one arm, because it's been hacked off at the elbow.
We've both got one.
Is it a proper magical one?
It is a mechanical one.
Mechanical arm. Magical legs.
Take the card from its other hand.
Yeah, I think it was just programmed to do that.
It says, Sasha, comma, thank you, full stop. Find the one that got away. Love, Brock.
She just collapses in a pile of sobbing.
The mechanical man sort of slowly doesn't implode, but you know, winds down on itself and then just has slumped.
In you see basically the same thing happen to Sasha, but faster.
Bertie kicks the mechanical man, knocks it over, goes, yeah, that showed you, didn't it? Yeah! Keeps kicking it.
So with Bertie yelling at the problem, while Sasha, actually uncharacteristically,
normally if someone's crying, it's Hamid.
I was going to say, it's, as much as it's classic, yeah, Hamid's not the one crying.
In
it's
a puddle of his own vomit.
It's scary. Mm. It's a scary change.
That's been at most three times.
and maybe one of those wasn't even real. Like, it was a dream, sort of, so... yeah, so...
Sasha, do you want to maybe just go up to your room and...
No, there's more to be done. There's more. It's not over yet. It's not over. There's one that got away and shoves the note in Dorf's face.
I don't know what that means.
Well, neither do I.
What?
I don't know. I don't know whether there's any more messages coming. I thought I said goodbye, and yet there's more messages. What does this even mean? Okay, we're like, what? What one got away?
We'll work it out. All right.
If this thing has a note somehow, does that mean we're still in a simulation?
It could have been a dead man's drop. If somebody dies, they arrange for certain things to happen upon their death, so to make sure.
Well, how would he know if he was dead that their one had got away?
He is within the system, or at least was. And it seems that the system controlled all of these things all around Paris, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he would have some influence over this mechanical man.
Well, I guess all that we know then is that it's not over, and there's something out there that we need to find, and we've got no details as to what or where.
Well, at least we know there's only one of them.
We'll talk about this in the report. Like, we'll not do this in the hotel lobby.
Whilst all the footmen are still faffing and fretting.
If they're faffing, it means they're not listening.
They're not listening.
Yeah.
You know what? In the time it's taken you to have this conversation, one of them's run off and managed to find a net and has proceeded to throw it over the mechanical man, because that'll solve the problem.
Amazing.
I'm helping.
To the authorities, shall we?
Let's do that.
Heading back out. It's only a very short walk to the nearest station. However, there are a lot of people on the streets. In fact, it's very clear that a lot of people have come out from inside buildings, out onto the streets. There's a lot of groups and gangs, one person being part of a group to then run off and talk to another one on the street corner. No one really knows what's going on.
Do you hear me?
Seems like all of Paris is in chaos. The police might have more than they can handle already.
I think what we have to say is more important.
Moving forwards through the crowds, no one's really paying you any attention. As you head out into the city, into some more crowded streets and so on, it becomes quite difficult to move. And as you're approaching the police station, you see quite a large crowd are swarming at the front. And there is a policeman stood giving a speech in French. For those of you who speak it, the equivalent of, ladies and gentlemen, we understand that there's been some kind of systematic problem. It's fine. Everything's under control. Please return to your homes. Everything will be dealt with soon. We're not going to be able to tell you anything more here. There's no reason. And it just goes on. And on, and everyone's asking, what about my refrigeration? Just anything. It's a lot of people who are very concerned by minor things currently.
Bertie, might have to use your particular talents to get ourselves to the front of that crowd so we can actually chat to a police officer.
Very well. So how big is the crowd?
A couple hundred people.
How far is it to the policeman?
60 feet.
Please don't throw me.
And how many... and roughly how many people are between policemen and...
in a direct line, maybe a small 35. If you include the whole crowd, though, it is more than 100.
Yeah. Well, so Bertie, who does not speak French at this point, announces, of course he does, in English.
Give me a roll of an intimidate check.
And then I will up it.
Yep. Yep.
17 plus 10 is 27.
You succeed.
Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham, the hero of the hour, is here. I've saved you, Paris. Not a single word of this is in French. No one can understand him. You better be grateful. Bertie picks up one of them by the neck and just physically moves them out of the way. Yes, the hero of the hour is here with his companions, or should I say, accessories. Make way, make way, shove. One falls over into a puddle, another lands on a child. The child starts crying. I have come to speak to the long arm of the law, to impose some order and discipline over this chaos. You are welcome, Paris. Get out of my way, slap. Probably a woman falls backwards into the arms of her enraged but terrified husband. Yes, I see you there, Paris.
This entire speech has been in flawless French. You are not aware of this, Bertie. Wait, the rest of you have definitely heard that.
I didn't understand a word of that.
Imagine what you think Bertie would say.
Something about people being poor and pointless?
Like that, but in French.
Yeah.
When did he
It was insulting enough that even I understood.
We will presume you are still speeching as this happens, but we will accelerate to...
You are poor and insufficiently grateful!
You have made it to the front of the queue. There is a very, very angry but cautious-looking policeman.
You there, minor functionary!
We're pushing... So Sasha is pushing Zolf in the wheelchair behind Bertie, sort of nodding...
Sorry.
Here we go. Well, you know what he's like.
The policeman's just there at the front going, I'm sorry, I don't really know what you're doing here. I've been telling everyone else what's happening.
Bertie, can you get out of the way, please?
Can Bertie understand what the policeman is saying?
Because presumably he's speaking English.
You know, your English is remarkably good.
He looks to the rest of them, looks back to Bertie.
Bertie?
Oh, we need a meritocrat, mate.
You're speaking French?
To the policeman.
Oh, that's revolting. But I don't know. Maybe I'm one of those undiscovered geniuses.
We need a meritocrat. We need it now.
You and me both. But look, you're going to have to go home over the top of everyone. You're going to have to return home. There's nothing you can be doing out here.
There is, though. We're involved. We're on a meritocratic mission. Honest, mate, this isn't a... She pulls out one of the magical legs. It's like, look, we destroyed part of it. Like,
he just looks confused and not believing.
Did we get some sort of token or something to be like...
No.
No, we didn't.
Okay. Nope.
No.
We know what happened under that Arc de Ordinateur.
And as a result, we need to speak to your superiors. And I imagine that's rather a long list of people.
We can just start telling everyone in this crowd. I think we all know what would be the better choice.
For God's sake. He then just gestures for a couple of men to just show you in and sit you in the waiting room. And then he carries on talking to the rest of the group. The person who sits you down says, someone will be with you soon. And then just walks off and leaves you in the waiting room. Mm. It's very busy, with a lot of people being very annoyed at contraptions.
We should have waited for a while.
Well, he'll probably find us if, after...
When did you speak French?
I don't know. Since about 5 or 10 minutes ago. I'm gifted.
Yeah.
I'm going to start looking for an office that says Captain. I assume... Yes, something like that. I mean...
El Capitan. No, wait.
I don't know what ranks there are in the French Parisian police force in this... era of this particular world.
Give me a stealth check to hide in plain sight because you're going places you shouldn't be.
I'm not hiding.
The second that you are attempting to leave the waiting room, a harassed looking female officer comes back and she's going, look, no, just please just wait in the waiting room. We'll deal with you the same way we deal with everyone else. Just will you please wait?
Now listen to me. I draw myself up to my full height.
Whoa, now.
Bertie, when this is about to happen, Bertie takes one pace and just stands directly behind Hammond.
This has been an incredibly long day. We have just saved the swear word world
And we know exactly what has happened to every single one of your stupid contraptions. I am not going to start working. This is not a problem you can solve. Get me talking to someone who understands the situation in this city and do it now. There is nothing more important.
Give me a diplomacy roll.
22.
It looks like at the very last second, she might just go, you know, forget it, it's a coup. She hesitates, just wait here. Wanders off. I say wanders. Strides purposefully off. She comes back with another female officer, another sergeant, actually. Right. I understand that you have something that's important to tell me. Better make this good. I'm extremely busy right now.
I can only assume this is probably the worst day you've ever seen, because the entirety of Paris's infrastructure has just shut down.
Sounds
Would you
right.
like to know why?
If you think you know, please come with me. She gestures for you to come into the office. She hasn't paid any attention to the rest of the group.
Harold, what's going on?
I'm explaining the situation.
Bertie?
Who's she?
By the way, Bertie, you have also understood everything that everyone's saying now. It's a brave new English-speaking world.
Really good at this, you know. English is a very influential language, perhaps. In the immediate power vacuum, British soft power and cultural influence are spread all the way over to Paris.
I'd never want to see inside that head. Never.
Imagine going to a coronation or jubilee street party. That's what it looks like. Forever and ever. Just stamping on a human face.
Carry on. This is the sergeant here.
Sergeant, we don't want to talk to a sergeant.
I need to explain enough to get us up the chain.
Okay, just...
No one is taking us seriously.
All right, we're going to keep it...
Fix that.
Keep it light.
We'll throw in a summon dance down the pass, Mr. Smith.
I should clearly ignore that instruction.
On information.
She leads Hamid in towards an office. Make it good.
29.
Make it good. Make it very good.
We have spent the last week living under l'Arc de Ordinateur with the being that was in control of that entire institution, and it would appear in control of most of Paris. This was not a benevolent being. This was not your friend. This was not your protector. This was your overlord. And it was harvesting people from your city. And it had dreams of replacing the meritocrats. Myself and my three friends have dealt with this problem, and you are welcome.
There's a little of Bertie's influence, yes?
Taps on the shoulder.
Well done.
From outside the room.
Taps on the door.
And that is not even the most serious thing we learned in the last week, because this being is attempting to do the same in Cairo and in London, and we desperately need to speak to someone of the utmost importance who is capable of making important decisions about meritocratic policy across Europe and beyond to explain the situation in detail and deliver a full report of our activity, because we are, in fact, meritocratic agents here on important business.
She, whilst you've been speaking, appears to have been won over by sheer force of will. She definitely wasn't impressed at the start, but by the end, something like your tone, something about the way you were handling yourself. Maybe
on the edge of falling apart.
Maybe the fact that you're covered in burns and have clearly seen a heck of a lot of stuff and are accompanied by other people who are in a suitably shabby condition. But nonetheless, she goes and fetches her superior. Congratulations, you made it to the top of the chain of the police station. We will skip repeating this process. Ad infinitum. It boils down to, you have no evidence of the fact that you are working as meritocratic agents. However, it is a simple enough thing to check when all of the messaging systems are work. So, because everyone's occupied at the moment, they are asking, at least somewhat more politely, for you to continue waiting a little bit longer, and they will send a runner to fetch someone.
Am I convinced they are dealing with us as important?
Yes.
Then I am relaxed and polite.
It has passed into, they are clearly erring on the side of caution, which is not you send someone to go fetch the meritocrat.
No, obviously.
But nonetheless, they are treating it with the attention it deserves, but everything's going crazy.
No, I understand.
I do not have the time to chase on
every avenue. But I'm expecting you to be treated as something more than just another annoyance. And if I have achieved that, I consider that a job well done.
You have another maybe hour before someone actually comes back. If there's anything that you want to do in that time, but you will be in the waiting room unless you decide to wander off.
I'm going to go around the corner, buy some food and a bottle of wine and bring it back.
Sleep. It takes a while for you to work your way out through the crowd and back in through the crowd, but you've got the time.
People's legs.
Yeah, basically. And for what it's worth, the shop next door, tiny little mom and pop operation, they're completely fine.
They're doing great business.
Between them, they've probably, like, 1.5 centuries of age in there. And they're just, these things happen. Oh.
They must be doing great business.
They have queue out of the door. People are queuing up for it. They're having a great day.
Yep. People are queuing. British soft power.
I bring back bread and cheese and wine.
Finally, you're all shown into the office of the first sergeant who actually spoke to you.
Also, I'd probably drink a healing potion.
Sure.
Because I'm still really badly hurt.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I'll look a bit hurt when you drink a healing potion.
8.
So, you open the door, and Wild is in there. He is lounging, but in a concerned way.
Oscar.
He is managing to sit with legs crossed over someone else's desk, with a glass in hand, but there's a slight frown. He looks like someone who both has the situation in hand, but you really kind of wish he didn't, almost.
Oscar, I genuinely never thought I would even be slightly pleased to see you.
I'm still not!
You would be amazed how many times people say that.
Right.
not amazed, actually.
Yeah.
No, I find that very plausible.
Yeah, no one likes you, but you've got a lot of power. Yeah. Like, that's
so
how it works.
Let's just make the situation very clear.
Thank you very much, Sergeant. We can have the room. And he closes the door.
None of us are in the mood right now for any of your witticisms or cleverness.
Looks down at you, looks up.
Right? You thought I was grumpy last time. I am murderous this time. So, none of that. And we're going to deliver our report. And you're going to say thank you very much. And you're going to leave. And you're going to deal with it. And then we're going to go to bed.
Are we going to get paid, and then we're going to go to bed?
Maybe.
We'll see. He goes behind the desk, sits down. All of you grab a chair.
Thank you, I have one.
As you all sit down, he sort of leans across to Hamid. I don't see why he's allowed to make jokes, and I'm not. Right, so do report.
I can see exactly why he's allowed to make jokes and you're not.
Okay, so rather than RP a 2-hour, 3-hour long conversation where what you do is tell us everything that we've just listened to, we're just going to boil that down to tell us what information is sort of transferred, because otherwise we will be here for another 4 episodes, and I'm not sure everyone wants to listen to it again.
So,
I don't know, I thought it was pretty fun.
Okay. I've looked at a giant brain computer, right? So this giant brain computer is controlling, well, obviously most of Paris. It's controlling a lot of the financial institutions. It was able to get us a room in the fanciest place in the world for unknown reasons.
Yep.
It is planting more of itself. It has started doing so in Cairo, possibly London, and possibly other cities. It plans to do so with other things. Francois Henri built it, but it wiped his memory so much that it scrubbed him into a zombie. Francois Henri is now dead. Won't mention it killed him.
Sure.
It was editing people's memory so that it wasn't found. Mm-hmm. So if you check the annals of the L'Arc de Ronde Tour and also the newspaper, you will find lots of people get their wonderful best jobs ever because their memories were being edited in order to make them believe it.
So we are telling him about the meritocrat?
Yep.
Bolasnok.
Yes,
the apparently dead meritocrat.
We will leave out basically the personal stuff.
So Brock and Brutal.
Yeah, Bertie's not going to mention Brutal, even though he maybe has a sneaking suspicion that Brutal might be the one that got away.
Mm-hmm. Because obviously Brutal is the most important creature in the universe.
Yeah, obviously.
Have you been on our forums?
I'm going to stress especially that this thing wanted to supplant the authority of the meritocrats, because that's the kind of thing that should get them worried enough to care in a serious way. I am intending to add that we found designs and plans and that we burnt them, because I do not mind Wild knowing that. Even if he is angry about that, I want him to know that is the level of importance we attach to this thing never ever seeing the light of day again.
Well, if he starts saying that, I will not argue, because it's already been said, but we'll be like,
Okay. Anything else? Last chance?
It was being powered by some Cajun elementals, which we destroyed, and it's completely powered down.
And we do tell him about the whole fact that its defense mechanism was to create the imaginary experience of destroying a big metal machine.
So that's the kind of power level we're dealing
with. And when this is all over, I'm still going to murder you.
Oh, one last thing. Everyone who is in the Ordos Nataz has all their memories back, and they're all really, really freaked out.
Okay. And there's a lot of like zombie corpse things lying around.
Yeah, and there might be a worldwide economic crash. So last thing as well, we'll mention that we found evidence that Henri may have helped in the construction of the simulacrum.
But we won't tell him that we know it was Tesla
that
wrote the notebook.
Okay.
And therefore is probably the simulacrum designer.
Just very much like, very much Henri helped.
Yeah.
There's the link with what we're currently actually up to.
I understand. So at first, Wilde makes for a very irritating listener, keeps interrupting, keeps asking for details that frankly don't seem to matter. However, as you keep adding layers and it grows more and more grave and more severe, he does at least finally shut up.
Gosh, that's an achievement.
It takes a while because you're being very careful in what you're saying and there's lots of shared looks for like every third sentence or so. Finally, it's evening. It's late evening and he leans back and sort of considers it for a while. Pours himself a drink, he fiddles around in the sergeant's desk and finds a bottle of what looks to be whiskey or something similar. Pours himself one and offers it for the rest.
Please.
Who else have you told?
No one, really.
Yeah, no one.
We gave the barest details to the sergeant and the captain here just to make sure they understood how important it was for us to talk to.
Oh, and there is a mother of a journalist, Amelie Rose's mother. Amelie was killed investigating this, so it would be nice if maybe you could just help.
Do you have anywhere to stay?
They seem to...
Yeah, the Grand hasn't kicked us out yet.
Back at the hotel, until they update their records, or whatever. I don't really know how...
He reaches in, pulls out a very, very good-looking wallet. It appears to be embroidered in some way. He passes you a card, puts it away in his jacket pocket. If anyone ever asks for evidence that you're working with us again, show them that. Now...
Been handy the first time round.
He just gives you a look and then carries on. Return to the Triumph and wait for us there. This is going to take a while. And how are you guys at rubbing sticks to make fire? Because I feel like that's the way it's going. Stands up, puts the glass away. Is there anything else I need to know when he opens the door?
Do you know a good prosthetics surgeon?
Leave it with me. Closes the door and just goes.
Well, guys, we saved the world.
Maybe.
Who fancies a party?
Not really, no.
I'm just going to go to bed.
It's quite tiring, saving the world. Yeah. Didn't save all of it.
In the morning.
So you all
head back to La Triomphe and fall over, I imagine.
You get back to La Triomphe. They've managed to light some candles in the foyer. And there's a nice cold platter for you up there.
It's like the end of the Avengers when they're sitting in that shawarma place. And they all just look exhausted. And they're not talking to each other. Because although they saved the world... It's just too traumatic to enjoy.
Or like the end of Lord of the Rings, where suddenly they're sort of sitting around drinking pints.
As we pan out from the image of you all, sat around the table.
Eating some cold lobster.
Hammond slips his sleeves off and then back on, and then suddenly he's wearing a party hat.
Is it a jaunty end when somehow the stream is coming off the top? Just look really sad.
Yeah. Really absolutely.
Droopy.
And the silence of the room is sort of interrupted by the continual crunch as Sasha's breaking apart the lobster to get at the juicy flesh.
You keep panning back.
Crunch.
Across a...
Crunch.
Eerily dark Paris.
Crunch.
The hum of the city reduced to a frightened murmur.
Crunch.
As we zoom out further. And the only lights left in the entirety of Paris in any real concentration... are those on Eiffel's Folly. And we will end season one there.
Ooh.
You made it through it! Made
just
it through a season!
Barely.
Yeah.
Sort of. Hey, we did the prologue as well.
True.
Yeah.
Prologues aren't a season, they're a prologue, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it was a multi-part prologue.
It was, it was. So, we've made it through season one. Gotcha. Congratulations. I feel like it should be monumental, and instead, not only are the characters exhausted, we all kind of are as well.
Yeah. Saving the world is hard.
Yeah.
It is.
Adventure's really grueling.
As it should be.
Yeah.
As it should be. Any immediate thoughts, feelings, fears?
If saving the world was easy, everyone would be doing it.
I want shiny things!
Yeah, I've got loads of like ancient Carthaginian treasure defence, and I've got like
don't
this
worry.
Very fancy hat that's going to make me very pretty. That's on the way that won't arrive, and it's like, why is there no online tracking of this sort of thing?
Oh, there was. It's gone now.
Oh. I want a ceremony. I want the princess to put a medal round my neck and my big hairy friend to go.
And the music will play. Na 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 na
na na. We will close there. We will be back again soon. And obviously, I think we will do maybe a catch-up season one thing where we discuss what's happened and so on. But thanks for following us for this entire season. We look forward to season two. We can open with some loot and happiness. And,
yes.
Oh, level up. You know what? Congratulations. You have all leveled up.
Yay! Wait, wait, wait. So you're saying that by level three, we've already saved the world once?
No. Possibly twice.
So what are we going to do by level 10?
We really broke the world as well. Like, we saved it, but there's probably a lot of people falling out of helicopters in the sky.
Just remember, guys, there are other worlds than this one.
The flaming poo dimension.
We can save the flaming poo dimension as well, for some reason.
Are you just going to call it like, we've ruined this one? Try again. Yeah, just plane a shift. just try again. Right. Well, whilst we discuss the nuances of levelling, and I'm going to be honest, like, levelling and a half, because I held off for a while, we will rejoin...
Yeah, let's just go straight to level 5.
Yeah, just call it
level 4. Level 4 is dull.
Right, I'm going to be telling off my players, and we will all join you again soon.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Words.
Test.
All by myself. Don't want to be.
God blimey, Governor. Don't want to be all by myself.
Do me a favour, just do this, and then just speak into it once.
Hello, it's me. Yeah, I'm on the evening news.
Loads of stuff happened. It was brutal.
Proper good there, Casey.
This
enjoying.
Can you close those curtains,
CNN.
James?
Cockney News Network.
Price of eels went up yesterday. People are furious.
It's going metal. Metal. It's all going off.
All right.
Getting all my fiddling out of the way.
Look.
Oh God, so satisfying. Yeah.
One sec. I need to check my.
Also a stretch because.
Oh. Yawn, stretch, click.
All right.
Yawn, stretch, click. He's my favourite action hero.
I'm too tired to engage with that. I'm just going to accept it.
Verb is always the best action hero.
Are we all good?
Yep.
Verb.
I love that guy.
My favourite action hero.
No, I don't want to give the dog to Madeline. That'd be weird.
Hey.
Because I'm going to cast Charm Person on this person,
yeah,
so no. I can persuade them they want to accept a dog from me.
But maybe you already cast Per.
With his mind. With his face. I mean, with whatever it is that people fall in love with.
Charm Person!
I don't know how it works.
I call that the Vin Diesel approach.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woebegone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woebegone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woebegone, spelled Woe.Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.